You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories Patreon bonus preview. If you like what you're hearing, stick around to the end to find out how you can get more. Hey guys, welcome to episode 1662 of Hillbilly Shorts.
Hello, hello.
So Tracy, we're going to do something today that's not our typical. It's something that some of the story I already knew, other parts of the story. Matter of fact, I think some of the story we've already talked about on here on a previous episode, but the Beatles, of course, released a new song a couple weeks ago called Now and Then, and that song came from a demo that John had done back in the late 70s. But I wanted to kind of tell you a coincidence that involves that song and some previous things that have happened.
All right. I love that song, by the way.
I do, too. And the more I listen to it, the more I like it. Mm-hmm. And the video, when you watch the video, it gets even better. Mm-hmm. It's a tearjerker if you actually watch the video. It's got a whole different meaning. But let's go back to 1993, 94. The Beatles, the existing surviving Beatles, which was Paul, George, and Ringo, decided they were going to do the anthology Beatles series, and they wanted to make a new Beatles song. Now, there were three different anthologies, anthology one, two, and three, okay? Mm-hmm. They had a cassette tape that Yoko Ono had given them of demos that John did. Now, I'll get into that part of that a little later, but on that demo were three songs. There was Free as a Bird, Real Love, and Now and Then. They took the demo for Free as a Bird, and Paul, George, and Ringo added their parts to the vocals that John had done, and they released that as a single. And then when part two came out, they released Real Love, same situation. For part three, they wanted to do Now and Then. But there were some major problems with it. It was just piano and John singing, and there were some times where the piano drowned out his voice.
Yeah.
And they started it. George played his guitar parts. Paul played some bass. Ringo played drums on it. But they ended up dropping it because the quality just wasn't good enough.
And you're talking back in the 90s,
I'm
right?
talking back in 93, 94,
okay.
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So that song has set for 25 years, okay, basically. Mm-hmm. Since then, George has died, obviously.
Yeah.
But where I want to talk about the tie-in to all this is, the name of the song is Now and Then. And if you actually listen to the song, when it gets, I guess, to the refrain, it says, Now and Then, I miss you. Now and Then, I want you to be there for me. Now, I said we would get to this a little bit later, but supposedly this tape that Yoko Ono gave Paul McCartney, it had on the cassette for Paul.
Oh.
So now you kind of fast forward. John Lennon's assassinated, obviously, in 1980. A few months after the assassination, Paul got together with Carl Perkins. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Carl Perkins was one of their idols.
Of course,
he was the original that did Blue Suede Shoes before Elvis did it and a bunch of other stuff. He was a true rock and roller, you know, back in the 50s. Paul called him up and said, hey, I'm down in the Caribbean. I'm doing some stuff. Why don't you come down here and do some stuff with me? Okay. He sends him a ticket. Carl Perkins comes down there. One night, it was the last night there, Carl decided to write a couple songs. And what he did was he decided to, in the studio, play the songs that he wrote. Well, one of the songs he wrote was called My Old Friend.
My Old Friend?
Okay. My Old Friend. And in the song, it says, basically, my old friend, think about me every now and then. Well, Paul McCartney got super emotional. Mm-hmm. And he ended up leaving the studio.
Oh.
And Linda, his wife, was still in there. And Carl's like, well, I mean, I didn't mean to upset him. Mm-hmm. And Linda said, well, here's the situation. The last words that John Lennon ever said to Paul McCartney in the hallway of the Dakota, where John was shot, was, every now and then, think about me, my old friend.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
It was almost the same thing that was in Carl Perkins' song. Carl had not known that. Nobody known that. Linda said, I and Paul, us two, are the only ones who know that. And then Carl said, well, I guess the three of us know that now.
Well, no wonder you got emotional. That's just so random almost.
So when you think about it, he said that. Carl writes this song just a couple months later that's almost the exact phrasing without knowing that. And then John had written a song that at this time Paul McCartney had no clue about because it was basically 13 years later when Yoko Ono gave him the cassette and the cassette said for Paul and one of the songs was Now and Then.
Wow. That is crazy.
So it really aggravated Paul back in the 90s that they couldn't get this song done. And when Peter Jackson showed that he had the software that could make this song happen, that's why this song actually did happen, because Paul's been trying for 25 years to, or was it, whatever many years it's been, to get this song made.
Wow, that's so amazing.
And I think it's because he feels like John probably wrote that talking about him.
Yeah.
And I know Giles Martin, which is the gentleman who actually did the producing and stuff on this song, he and Peter Jackson both think that John wrote this song about Paul, and that's why it said for Paul on the cassette.
Oh, my. Well, that touches your heart, don't it?
So I thought it would be cool to share that story with you guys today.
Yeah, that's just, that's
even, amazing. Even if you don't like the song, and even if you don't like the Beatles, all that goes hand in hand, and it's just really cool.
It is very cool. But I think if you listen to the song, you'll like it, especially if you watch the video that goes along with it, because it's really good.
I had found out back in 1980, shortly before John was killed, they were all actually talking about doing a Beatles reunion concert in England.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was literally in the works.
Oh.
And so.
Yeah, that's so sad that that happened to him.
All right, guys, that wraps up this one. I hope you enjoyed it.
Bye.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 1663 of Hillbilly Shorts.
What's going on, my peeps?
Tracy, I ran across some stories that are very disturbing.
Oh, not those kind again.
Well, these are all kind of, these are all things that have to do with creepy stories from funeral homes and crematoriums.
Mm.
And these aren't like haunted type things. These are just like bad people. And Lily's farts are, it smells like somebody burnt pinto beans.
Oh, I can't smell it.
Anyways.
We still love you, Lily.
Well, it's teetering. So. All right. This story goes back to July 1986. Anthony Parisi passed away at the age of 83 years old. Parisi was the co-founder of a grocery store in Mount Vernon, New York. He died of natural causes, and his body was being held at the, I think it's Yanantuano Funeral Home. On July 26th, the employees of the funeral home went to prepare Parisi for his burial. That's when they looked into the casket. They discovered that his head was missing.
What?
The police were called in.
Wait, what?
His head was missing.
Well, was it missing when he first got there?
No.
Oh, my Lord. Go ahead, sorry.
The police were called in, and they speculated that someone broke into the funeral home during midnight and used a razor or scalpel to remove the head.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
Once the head was cut off, the intruder took it with them. Nothing else in the funeral home was stolen or perturbed. There weren't even signs of a break-in. The police were baffled by the case. They have no idea who stole the head, why it was stolen, and they don't know what happened to it because it was never found.
Well, I mean, surely it would have to be somebody in the funeral home, I would think. But why in the world? I mean, I'm assuming this could be wrong, but they had the tools there to do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it wouldn't take much. I mean, like I said, a scalpel. Anybody can get a scalpel or a razor knife or
something. Oh, my gosh. Why would anybody want a head? A dead head on top of it. That's awful.
I have no idea.
So I want to know how they explained it to the family then. About that, we probably should do closed casket.
Yeah, I would be
interested. He's totally missing a head, so.
I would be interested in how they explained that to the family.
Well, that's just a terrible story.
Here's another one. Similar. Well, somewhat similar. A pretty young 26-year-old woman who had lost her life battling against cystic fibrosis left behind a mysterious case post her death. While the funeral should have been part of the grieving process for Julie Mott's friends and family, the funeral was the start of a new nightmare. Sometime after the visitation and just before closing of the funeral home, someone took away Julie's body. The police and the family are stunned with this, for no one knows who has actually stolen the body. Theories of an obsessive unidentified boyfriend, involvement of the funeral home itself, have been formed, but it's still unknown as to how and where did Julie's body disappear.
I mean, well, yeah, that's pretty bizarre. I was going to say, well, are they... No, that's just stupid. I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Scratch that.
Never good at business, Robert Winston got into the funeral home business after his retirement as an electrician. He was never good at handling finances, and so he would always be in debt, and in the late 2000s, he had absolutely no money to pay his bills. His one source of steady income was McGee Women's Hospital, who gave him dead fetuses and newborns to cremate.
Oh my gosh. Seriously.
He would simply take the money and pay the bills without having a penny to cremate them. So he started storing them at the funeral home. In March 2004, his license was suspended for 3 years for not storing the fetuses, but for running an unlicensed funeral home, and he didn't notify the state that he was selling prearranged funeral plans. With no license and no money, he started doing something unbelievable. In August 2005, his ex-wife called the police and she told him that he may be storing bodies in his garage. The police searched the garage and inside they found 179 fetuses that were over 16 weeks of gestation. Oh, 154 fetuses that were under 16 weeks of gestation. 253 biohazard containers containing unspecified fetal autopsy remains, and the remains of 19 newborns that were born alive but died shortly after birth.
Aww.
Police believe that all the remains came from the hospital between 2000 and 2002.
What I want to know is why he just got suspended for 3 years. Why? They should never let him
do that. Well, that was before they found the fetuses and stuff. So he was actually suspended in 2004, and those bodies had been in there since between 2000 and 2002.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was actually caught in 2005 for having those.
What a sicko.
Anyway, some crazy funeral home stories.
No shit, man. People are crazy.
So, all right, guys. That wraps up this one.
Bye.
Hey, guys. If you like what you just heard, we do 6 of those small bonus episodes every single week. We also do 2 full-length bonus episodes every month. We do a listener stories episode and then a story that's just like the ones you would typically hear on the regular feed. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com and look up Hillbilly Horror Stories, or go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com and there's a direct link right there. Thank you guys so much for what you do for us.